Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
Many thousands of refugees and migrants from Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan remain trapped near the Hungarian border with Serbia, but some broke through barriers and police lines today. Given the large media presence, police did not respond violently, although yesterday some clashed with law enforcement. The migrants are being told they have to wait to be registered before being allowed to continue their journey further north, where Germany has promised to take in hundreds of thousands of refugees. After serious pressure from the British public, Prime Minister David Cameron announced his government would take in 10 to 20,000 refugees. French President François Hollande said he would take in 24,000 refugees, and the German Vice Chancellor Sigmar Gabriel said his country would take in 500,000 people a year for several years. But Germany and Sweden have asked the EU to craft policies that would allow for an equitable distribution of the responsibility of refugees. Well, Bob, these generous-sounding quotas will only help those people who survive the dangerous journey to Europe over rickety and unsafe boats crossing the Mediterranean. But what about those people stuck inside Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a humanitarian crisis on an almost unprecedented scale, at least for the last few decades. And whatever measures are taken in Europe aren't going to solve the problem. There are some key questions, of course, about the United States' obligation in this and the U.S. levels of refugee settlement, which are pathetically low. People are starting to raise questions about the wealthy Gulf states, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the Emirates, the people that have the money. Of course, whether Syrians, Iraqis want to go there is another question. But I think, you know, we always come back and should remember that this is a product of U.S. actions, and the United States needs to be accountable, whether that means people coming to the U.S. or U.S. funds. The U.S., at least for us, especially here, should always be at the center of this story.
As the refugee crisis pushes the tyranny of the Islamic State and Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to the fore, European nations have now used it as a reason to participate more forcefully in the U.S.-led war on Syria and northern Iraq. Britain announced on Monday that about a month ago it had conducted a drone strike inside Syria that killed three people suspected to be aligned with the Islamic State, two of them British citizens. Prime Minister Cameron has presented a series of what are being called counter-terrorism measures to the House of Commons that include actively participating in airstrikes on Syria. He's urging the Labour Party to back him, but the party's frontrunner, Jeremy Corbyn, who has been described as Britain's Bernie Sanders, has called for an international summit on Syria before launching airstrikes. French President François Hollande has already begun reconnaissance flights over Syria and is strongly considering airstrikes. But Bob, isn't Western bombing of countries like Iraq, Syria, and Afghanistan, led, of course, by the U.S., a huge part of the problem that generated refugees and strengthened militant groups now?
I think the logic of Cameron and Hollande is impeccable here. The illegal rogue action of Western states over the last decades has caused much of the instability in the Middle East. So to solve the problems generated by that instability, more illegal rogue actions are clearly called for. I mean, it's literally insane. Everyone understands, anyone who cares about human beings understands, that there needs to be a regional solution, and that has to be in an international context. That means Russia and Iran have to be part of this. If you want to talk about settling things in Syria and keeping the Russians and the Iranians out of the process, it's fantasy. There's something called diplomacy. It's not a perfect solution, but it does work. And it works a lot better than drone strikes conducted against your own citizens in extrajudicial assassinations.
And finally, here in the U.S., President Obama marked Labor Day yesterday by signing an executive order that would require employees of federal government contractors to obtain 7 paid sick leave days a year. Obama struck a defiant tone and blasted the Republican Party for speaking to middle-class values while opposing things like paid sick leave. The sick leave policy would not take effect until 2017, after the president's tenure ends. The announcement represents a possible reconciliation between organized labor and the Democratic Party after a rift over the Trans-Pacific Partnership earlier this year. President Obama has already used his executive authority several times to demand higher labor standards of those companies that do business with the government. Well, Bob, on the one hand, it's great that he's pushing so strongly on a basic labor right. On the other hand, he has undermined labor through his determined support of international trade deals that could erode jobs. What do you think of Obama's moves?
Well, there's several things to point out here. One is, remember that the so-called, you know, benefits being given here don't even come to the minimal level that's expected in other industrial countries, especially in Western Europe. So we're so far behind that these piecemeal efforts seem like great improvements, but they're still pretty pathetic. The second thing is to remember that, you know, the Democratic Party right now operates kind of like moderate Republicans used to decades ago, that these kinds of policies, which would have been widely accepted decades ago, are now seen as, you know, Democratic Party politics. The other thing is to remember that ever since the Clinton administration in the 90s, the Democratic Party has essentially abandoned organized labor in the sense of really pushing for labor's agenda to expand union membership instead of let it continue to atrophy. So this, I'm all for even piecemeal efforts when they improve the lives of ordinary people working, but we shouldn't be overly impressed with Obama or the Democratic Party at this point.
Bob, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sonali.
Robert Jensen is an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin and our daily Newsflash guest expert. This is Uprising. We'll be right back after this break.